Blog Talk Radio.
April 23rd, tonight, or today actually, we welcome on Alvar Centeno, who are the Combate on the UFC 172 fight card this weekend. Patrick Williams joins us as he will make his debut, the Florida fighter, for the first time inside the octagon. And his talks about his last win and what is expected of him in the future. Who's his next opponent and how is he keeping up with his training? Lastly, World Wrestling Network's very popular manager, Larry Dallas, joins us today on The Roman Show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show or my personal one at RomanDH. If you want to call in, 714-868-0222.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the bank.
Booster. Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go. Fly.
Guidance.
Surgeon.
Go. Light.
Calm.
We're go. Light.
GNC.
We're go.
Down here.
Go.
Control.
FAO,
we are go.
Network go.
Recovery
go.
Capcom,
we're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Welcome everyone, April 23rd, The Roman Show on this Wednesday afternoon. Whether you're at work or whether you're driving from work to home, we'd like to welcome you to The Roman Show. And we have a great, great, great show for you today. Yes, we have four great guests coming up here today. We were at the UFC 11 this weekend. And it was a great experience out there. We have a lot of coverage. You can visit theromanshow.com. We have video interviews. We have articles. And we have pictures. And you can check that out for yourself. Feel free to share it. That's at theromanshow.com. We interviewed folks like Verdum, Fabricio Verdum, off his victory against Travis Brown in the main event. Also, George Masvidal, the Florida fighter, along with Yoel Romero. What a performance against Brad Tavares, who had been undefeated in the past five fights. And Yoel Romero made Tavares look like if he was a rookie. Yoel Romero is something very serious to look forward to in that division in the UFC. Feel free also to visit the MiamiHerald.com. I wrote an article there. And for those in Spanish, elnuevoherald.com. I wrote two articles there on both media outlets in regards to the UFC on Fox 11. So you can check that out for yourself. And we also have the Dana White media scrum, and where he touched several subjects as of if Dominic Cruz, if he were to come back, would he get a title shot immediately? And about Chris Cyborg and Gina Carano. Would Gina Carano and Ronda Rousey take place? Well, you're going to have to tune in and find out for yourself. TheRomanShow.com. Also, Alex White, young fighter, undefeated in the UFC now. And in general, he has an undefeated record. What a great performance for that kid. He has a lot to offer inside the octagon and in the future. Guys, this weekend we will be at Fort Rock in Fort Myers for the Fort Rock Festival. We will be interviewing several talented rock bands. We had Nothing More last week. And we look forward to interviewing several bands live and in color over at, if you need information on that, FortRockFestival.com. Make sure you interact with us on Twitter, at The Roman Show, and my personal one, at RomanDH, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman0201. So make sure that you go out there and subscribe and watch all the great footage. In fact, out of Miami, Florida, we were the only ones giving you up-to-date coverage of UFC on Fox with videos, social media, and so much more. We were it, folks. The Roman Show. We were it. So subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch all of that great stuff that we have for you throughout the weekend that we spent in Orlando. And look forward to all the coverage that we're going to have. Fort Rock Festival. All right, we'll be right back with Patrick Williams, who will be making his debut in the UFC this Saturday.
Fort Myers.
Are you ready?
Southwest Florida's biggest rock festival returns for its second year to JetBlue Park in Fort Myers, Florida. Monster Energy's Fort Rock Festival, April 26th, featuring Rob Zombie, Korn, Five Finger Death Punch, Caesar, Theory of a Dead Man, Trivium, Blackstone Cherry, Sick Puppy, Pretty Reckless, Nothing More, King, 12 Foot Ninja, and Within Reason. Tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets. For more info, head to FortRockFest.com. Monster Energy's Fort Rock Festival, April 26th at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.
Attention baseball fans, the Miami Marlins are looking for a few good heroes. Jose Zeros. Join one of the most hardcore fan sections in baseball today with the all-new Jose Zeros season ticket package. You'll see all 81 home games from this exclusive section. Plus, you'll get six Jose Zeros t-shirts and a private meet and greet with Jose himself. All for just $4.99. That's about $6 per game. Get your Jose Zeros season ticket package today at Marlins.com. Dive in.
All right, everyone, thanks so much for joining us again on The Roman Show. Make sure you follow us on social media, Twitter, at The Roman Show, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Roman Show Media. Now on the line, this weekend, this man will make his debut. Been following his career here in South Florida, and alas, he's making it to the big league, the UFC, as Patrick Williams will debut in the octagon against Chris Dale this Saturday in the big card that the UFC has. Patrick, man, thanks so much, and welcome to the Roman Show.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you all the fans out there.
Patrick, man, you know, I've been following your career from pretty much the beginning, and you know, we shared stories when you were telling me that you were on the same wrestling team as Cain Velasquez, but now you're joining him and Bader too, if I'm correct. All you guys, part of Arizona State, the wrestling team, and well, now you're part of that squad in the UFC. First and foremost, how did this come about? Because you recently fought in one of the local shows. How did this all happen?
Pretty much all happened overnight. After my fight with on Fight Time with Rafael Diaz, my manager gave me a call and was like, "Hey, are you interested in fighting in the UFC?" I told him, "Sure." Said it's at 135, and I told him, "Hey, let's do it. Now's my opportunity." And pretty much from there, it was a 50% chance that I was going to fight. Later on during the time, the UFC began asking questions and wanting film. By that time, I knew that they were interested and this was going to be a reality.
Wow, that's incredible. Just like this, what's the time span here? When did you first find out? How long ago was this? A couple of weeks, a couple of months?
A couple of weeks. It was very, very short notice. 4 weeks tops. So I didn't have all the time in the world to train. You know, I didn't go through the usual 8-week camp. And if you guys followed me, I fought November 1st for Fight Time. After that fight, I couldn't find an opponent for me. It was very difficult. I was supposed to fight February 8th, and I ended up just sitting. And pretty much kind of sitting doing nothing from my last fight until I got this call. So I had to put everything in high gear and rev it up and, you know, get in shape and get my timing down and everything within a very short period of time.
Well, you're fighting another guy who's making his debut in Chris Beal. Even though the time span wasn't there, what can you tell us about your the fact that he has 2 decision wins and 2 knockout wins, but not too much is known about the guy?
Pretty much with Chris Bell, opponent to me. He definitely has what it takes to make it into the UFC, being that he was in the Ultimate Fighter, and it seems like they was leaning pretty hard on him, to do well in the show. Other than that, I expect it's going to be a fight when I get out there. That's pretty much all I know about.
Yeah, I can get for Fighter 18.
He was, he has a big following, big crowd, and
how are you prepared? Do you think you'll have some butterflies going into stepping into the octagon for the first time? And how are you preparing yourself mentally for that?
I try to visualize every day myself being in front of the huge crowd with all the pressure on me, and I visualize that every night before I go to sleep, when I wake up, throughout the day. I train myself to try to regulate my emotions. Luckily for me, I had an experience where I had an adrenaline dump, and I believe it was my second or third fight. And just that experience alone has helped me out so much to prepare and understand my body and not to get too amped up and too revved up for a fight.
Right. And Patrick, I know that you're South Florida here. You wrestled down here in South Dade. You went to Arizona. But you have a very nice story when you became a father wrestling in college. And then I remember there's a story, too, that you want to give something back about your grandmother in the house. Can you just let us know about that? Because that's just a beautiful story. This is really why some of the reasons why you fight.
Well, I was raised by my grandma, and she had an early death, and her house, there was a will, and somehow something happened with the will, and the house went into foreclosure, and we ended up losing the house. And was pretty much left with nothing. And just that makes me work hard towards getting something out of life. She was always my inspiration, a role model. She was always working hard, an immigrant from Jamaica. And she just watching her go to work every day helped me strive towards getting things done in life, following your dreams, and staying on the path.
And also in college, you were a father at the time while you were in wrestling, correct?
Yeah, it was very difficult. I was actually a father, and I was also taking care of my wife's brother, my wife's sister, and my wife's mom. So I was a very busy, busy man in college, and it definitely took its toll on me. Sometimes I look back and I think to myself, I don't know how I graduated. Right off the bat, it was difficult for me. Just being way out in Arizona all by myself and taking care of these people. No one on the team really had kids and had as much responsibility as I did. And I just remember being just overwhelmed at times with wrestling and, parent life and taking care of people. Sometimes I felt things, slipping. School would slip, wrestling would slip, and it was so hard to juggle all these things at once. And it was just a very difficult moment. I remember going to teachers and stuff, trying to talk to teachers and to get some advice. And I had teachers telling me, I should quit wrestling. But at the same time, wrestling is paying for school. I had other teachers telling me I should quit school and go to work and then come back later and focus on it. So I had a lot of mixed messages, and I actually went to the school to try to get a little bit of help from the sports psychologist, but they're more focused on my performance, and kind of hit a wall there, and there was really no help there. But that helped me push through was the fact that being raised by my grandma, and she cleans houses, and sometimes she'll make $45 a week, and you see her somehow make ends meet, and, very tough, strong lady. So for me, it was easy to kind of keep pushing forward, you know, this is the track I'm on. I got to keep going until I'm done. So I continued to do that. And while I was in college, I had all type of, you know, stories. Times where I literally had, like, no money. And, you know, I was on the streets begging in grocery store parking lots for money for food for my daughters. And
right. Patrick, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Wow, Patrick, that's just a heartwarming story there. But, you know, at the end of the day, here we are now, and you're just days away from making your USA debut. It's a dream come true. And I think here in South Florida, we couldn't be more prouder than we are that you're going out there and representing us this Saturday in a big, major pay-per-view card. I mean, your fight will be on UFC Fight Pass, so the folks out there, you can see Patrick make his debut. It'll be on UFC Fight Pass. But check out his debut against Greg Beal, former The Ultimate Fighter. And I remember following your career, and I do remember that path where you said that you were at a low. But then you came back up. Remember, you got a really sick knockout in one of those earlier fights in your career where you broke the guy's jaw. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that fight. And I remember me getting knocked out. And in that fight, you know, I don't really make excuses. But in that fight, if you watch the tape, you see me, when I fought Pablo Alfonso, you see me kicking with my right leg. And then you see me switch my stance. It was because after I kicked him, he kind of checked it. And I thought I broke my foot. Hmm. And I remember being afraid to actually step on my foot. And when I switched my stance, I remember he was throwing a punch, and I actually went down to, I lowered my level and I shot. And as I was pushing off my foot, the pain from my foot, like, made me black out. And that's why everyone was kind of like looking, wow, did he just now pass out in a shot? And when I woke up, I kind of thought to myself, dang, did I get knocked out from a shot? And at that point, you kind of knew what happened. And that was just a horrible experience. But, you know, sometimes it happens. You know, not to take
it.
I was going to say, not to take
anything
away from Pablo
Alfonso. That's right, Patrick. Well, thanks so much, man, for joining us here on the Roman Show. Looking forward to your debut in the UFC this Saturday. Patrick fights against Beal on UFC Fight Pass. Make sure that live starting this Saturday on the UFC Fight Card, UFC Fight Pass, and then a great, phenomenal card that's going to be led by Glover Teixeira versus the champion John Jones. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us, man, and good luck.
I appreciate it. I just want to give a shout out to all the South Florida fighters, you know. Keep training, and all the South Florida fans, you keep supporting MMA. You know, subscribe to The Ultimate Fighter or subscribe to UFC Fight Pass. Make sure you watch the fight. And shout out to my gym, Full Contact. And some of my sponsors, Chase Lawyers, Star Cool, Robert's here, and guys, you'll look forward to a great fight and a great debut.
Do you like wrestling? Have you seen independent wrestling? How about Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, Shine, and Full Impact Pro? Find out what you're missing and watch video on demand and live internet pay-per-view in HD on WWNLive.com. It's time to upgrade to a premier wrestling experience with the World Wrestling Network. WWNLive.com.
This is your boy, Sugar Rashad Evans, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
All right, folks. There it is. Patrick Williams making his debut this Saturday at the UFC 172 fight card. Make sure that you are subscribed to UFC Fight Pass, as he will be the opening fight in that fight card. Coming up next, we have Alan Arzeno, who part of the Combate Americas reality show on Mundo's The guy fought Rene Level Martinez, who was undefeated at the time. And he had been, a person here in South Florida who many people thought he was going to go undefeated as he was in the backyards when he used to fight back then. But Alan Arzeno definitely brought it to him and defeated him. Even though they're cool, they're both friends. They're both cool, but at the same time, business is business. And at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for business. So Alan Arzeno took an action there against Rene Level Martinez. He'll be up in just a few. MMA veteran Homer Moore has been identified as the main suspect of a murder from 1999 and was arrested on Monday. Moore made one appearance in the UFC, losing to Evan Tanner at UFC 34 due to an armbar. The 42-year-old pulled a win over Joe Riggs and has competed against the likes of Chael Sonnen, Dan Severn, Jeremy Horn, Terry Martin, and Chad Griggs. The murder took place in 99, which also happened to be the year Homer made his pro debut. The last time he competed was just last year with a knockout win over a local fighter. And ironically, in the mugshot, Moore is wearing a UFC shirt. Very uncool. Well, the big fight is this weekend. Glover Teixeira versus John Jones. We interviewed Teixeira a couple of months ago where we asked him about his opportunity at getting a Jones's light heavyweight title and what he thinks about it. So make sure you head on over to our YouTube channel and hear what Teixeira has to say. And I have to tell you, that fight is a good fight. Many think that Jones has this under his belt and everyone wants to see Alexander Gustafsson have another crack at Jones, but don't take Glover out of this. Glover has knockout power. He has knockout power. John Jones has good reach. That's why his chin has not been tested yet, although we did see it a little bit against Lyoto Machida. But don't be surprised if Glover Teixeira can get in there. He could possibly knock out Jones, so don't underestimate Glover Teixeira. We'll see what the game plan is for John Jones. Phil Davis versus Anthony Johnson. That one is going to be a good one. Johnson coming up. He was undefeated in the World Series of Fighting. And now he's returning to the octagon to fight Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis this weekend. So look forward to that action. He got knocked out once in the World Series of Fighting against DJ Lenderman. But since then, in the World Series of Fighting, he went 2-for-1. He went 2-for-1 in the World Series of Fighting, defeating Andrei Arlovski and then knocking out Mike Kyle. And that fight actually took place right here in South Florida. So great fight there. Two big dudes going at it one-on-one. And Tim Boyd versus Luke Rockhold. Yancy Medeiros versus Jim Miller, Andre Phil versus Max Holloway. And then good stuff in the prelims with Joseph Benavidez and Timothy Elliott and so much more. And Wagner Hosha, who is from South Florida, is returning to the UFC. He will be fighting Joe Ellenberger this Saturday. So great stuff. A lot of folks from South Florida fighting on that fight card. So make sure that you tune in and support your people. Support all the fighters that are going to be on that fight. With that said, we're going to go ahead and welcome in Alan Arzeno to the Roman Show. Fresh off his victory against Rene Level Martinez.
All right, folks. Well, this man right here, I've known for some time, seen his fight live on several occasions, and he was featured on a reality show, a Spanish-based, on Mundo's, none other than Combate Americas. Right now we have on the line a person very well known in South Florida. That is Rene Level Martinez, a man that, well, many thought that was going to go undefeated for a very long time, but you put an end to that come this time around on the reality show. Now, I know both of you guys are good friends, but first and foremost, welcome to the Roman Show, and congratulations on the victory.
Man, thank you. Thanks for having me here, man.
So what happened with this fight, Alan? You know, let us in for those who didn't get an opportunity to see it from the beginning. We had covered Well, we wanted to be a part of this Combate America Stinger Live, but for several reasons, the press wasn't allowed. But regardless, we all knew that you had defeated him prior to that because the fight took place in December. And the video started going around when you defeated him, and a lot of people started talking on the net. But how did you come along knowing that you were going to fight Level? Let the people know.
All right, well, first of all, the show was it's a reality TV show. We had to do challenges to get points, and depending on your standing on the show, if you won challenges or not, you were going to fight first and second place, and then third and fourth place were going to fight against each other. So we really didn't know who we were going to fight. And then, you know, once we figured out, like, I mean, it was almost a week before the fight that I found out that I was going to be fighting Level, because I was fourth in according to the challenges, and he was third place, so we ended up fighting against each other.
Now, but were you originally scheduled to be on the show, Alan, or did you came in as a late entry?
I came in as a late entry. They had a couple of injuries. They had this guy, Ivan Chapo Guillen. He got injured, and then they had this other guy, Machelli, that I never got to see because he got injured the first day. And they called me up last minute, and, you know, they pretty much told me this is what's going to happen, and, you know, you can come in. It's going to be hard for me to catch up on points. It was always going to be hard for me to catch up on points, and then, you know, I just went in there and had fun, man.
So how long was it? Take us into the whole reality show and the filming, and what was your experience with it?
Well, honestly, it was really time-consuming. We had to be early at set or at the house or, you know, or the locations that they needed us at. We hardly had any time to train. We had some guest appearances by Royce Gracie. We had a couple of guys that you know, like Cyborg Abreu, Valtellini went out there. He's a glory kickboxer. And those guys came in there and, you know, they shared the knowledge with us, but we really didn't have a lot of time to train with them because it's a reality TV show. So they did a lot of shooting and, you know, it's a lot of waiting. It's a lot of, you know, let's move over here, let's go over there, and, you know, it's a lot of wasting of time. But it was really fun. I'm glad I did it. I actually didn't want to do it at the beginning. I was kind of worried about it. I was kind of scared to come on the TV and, you know, because you never know how they're going to portray you. But I think they did a really good job portraying everybody pretty much as they were.
So what happens now, Alan? Because there was a contract, but who do you fight
well,
for?
Right now we're waiting
for
a
contract with the UFC.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, like, for example, in The Ultimate Fighter, when you win, they give you a contract with the UFC. So who are you contracted now, or what's your next fight? What's next?
Well, I'm contracted under Combate Americas, where everybody got contracted for three fights. Now we just got to wait to see which matches they make because, you know, obviously we have the finale next week. It hasn't come out yet. We got, two more fights that are going to be showing. And you're going to see who the winners of the big contracts are going to be. It's going to be a fight between Danny and JC, and then they're going to have a fight between Eric Mayleon and Oscar. So, you know, once we get that fight, you know, once we get the winners of those, then you're going to see who the big contracts, you know, who got the big contract. I didn't get a big contract. I'm signed with a company. I won my fight, but I wasn't running for first place.
So there's a 1 and 2, and then they're going to get the biggest contract money-wise, is what you're saying, and then the other guys will get something else?
Yeah. I mean, everybody got their contract, like a regular contract. The guys that win the show got a big contract. The first place, only first place gets a big contract.
Uh-huh. So is Combate America going to be its own MMA promotion? Are they going to have several other shows during the year in Florida, elsewhere?
Yes, they're in the talks of having their own shows all around the country. Right now, you know, they're trying to wait for the results of the first show, which happened in December, like you said. We're going to wait for the results of that, and then they're going to go ahead and start promoting. Hopefully, they get another season going on with Mundos, but they're going to start doing fights, hopefully, you know, every other month or every 3 months or something like that.
Gotcha. So then you fought Level. You're good friends with it. Can you let us know a little bit about the history between the relationship that you and him have?
Well, it's funny. I've known him for a long time. I've actually met him when he was younger. You know, I met him when he was in the gang still, and, you know, I was just training MMA. But, you know, we had a couple of run-ins. I had a cousin that was a gang. I had a couple of run-ins. But you know, that was in the past. Now, back in 2009, when I went to turn pro, I was doing some amateur fights. I think it was my second amateur fight. He was turning pro as well. And they scheduled us to fight together in the first MFA show. Something happened with his finger. I think he broke his finger. I'm not sure exactly what happened. And the fight fell through.
Can you hear me there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow, so definitely a big history there. So have you been in talks with Level afterwards, or is it sketched still cool, or is it just for business, or how was the whole reaction afterwards?
Well, you know, we've always been cool. I mean, even when we were supposed to fight the first time, we ended up sparring together a couple of times at MMA Masters, and then we had a mutual friend, Nelson Rodriguez, who's a boxing coach, and, you know, we've always seen each other, you know, but we've never talked about fighting. We're never, you know, I never looked for that fight. I really didn't care if I fought him or not. I mean, it's a good fight to have because he's an undefeated fighter, but, you know, it wasn't my priority. I wanted to build my record. I wanted to fight tough guys, and, you know, I just went as, you know, as it came along with me. But after the fight, you know, I went back there and I talked to him. You know, I mean, he has one loss. It's not, you know, he didn't fight to a bum. I know my record doesn't speak for how good I am. But he didn't lose to a bum, man, and it's one loss. I got six losses, and I'm still fighting, you know? So it's not the end of his career. He can bounce right back up.
Right. So, and Arzana, I mean, what's going on with you, though? What's next? Any word on a fight? And, you know, when a fighter's off from fighting for a while, it's kind of frustrating. So what is next for Arzana?
Well, right now I'm just I'm on hold. I'm waiting for Combate Americas to do their thing. We are allowed to fight out of the promotion, but I had a couple of fights fall through. I was supposed to fight in the RFC in Tampa, the one that they had the Miami guys go over there. That fell through. My opponent, something happened with my opponent, and the fight fell the week before the fight. And then I'm scheduled to fight in Mexico for June 14th in Combate Extremo, and, you know, I'm waiting for the confirmation, actually. They haven't confirmed it yet, so I'm just waiting for the confirmation.
So it's just a matter of a waiting game. We're on, and I want to thank you so much for joining us here. And it was a lot of fun watching you in action, you and Level. Two Miami guys going at it. And now, obviously, a crowd pleaser. But I'm sure that a lot of people will be tuning in for the last episode on Mundos. Anything else you'd like to add on?
No, man. I'm glad everybody enjoyed the fight, man. And, you know, I went out there and I did my job. It, you know, it wasn't nothing personal. I just, you know, that's part of work. Even if you have to fight your friends, I mean, I'm not the type of guy that will back up from fighting your friends. So I'm a fighter. That's what I do, you know.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for joining us here in the Roman Show. And hope to talk to you very soon.
All right. Thank you very much, man.
Right now, we're waiting for Fort Myers. Southwest Florida's biggest rock festival returns for its second year to JetBlue Park in Fort Myers, Florida. Monster Energy's Fort Rock Festival, April 26th, featuring Rob Zombie, Korn, Five Finger Death Punch, Caesar, Theory of a Dead Man, Trivium, Blackstone Cherry, Sick Puppy, Pretty Reckless, Nothing More, King, 12 Foot Ninja, and Within Reason. Tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets. For more info, head to FortRockFest.com. Monster Energy's Fort Rock Festival, April 26th at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.
And boy, we can't wait to be Saturday. So Saturday gets here as we're going to be live at Fort Rock Festival. Looking forward to that. Korn, Rob Zombie, Five Finger Death Punch. I mean, the list is just, it's crazy, man. If you are a fan of heavy rock metal or rock itself, I mean, this is the concert to go to. For a great price, you'll be able to see all these bands all under one roof. And that's this Saturday in Fort Myers. So whether you're in South Florida, West of Florida, Central Florida, wherever the heck you are, this is a very accessible area, which is Fort Myers. Just from Miami, Florida, it's about 2 hours. So just to give you the heads up there. But head out over there this Saturday. Again, the Roman Show will be out there, Fort Rock Festival. Really looking forward to it. Personally, I want to see Korn. Big fan of Korn. Haven't seen them live in some time. And also Five Finger Death Punch. Got to see them once, about 2 years ago, and obviously, you know, they've got new music now. So things are completely different. So definitely looking forward to it this Saturday, Fort Rock Festival. It's going to be awesome. Really, really looking forward to it. All right, guys, there you heard it from Alan Arzeno, who was part of Combate Americas. He signed with the company It seems that there will be hosting several fights. We don't know where or when, but the point is, expect some MMA. And, you know, the UFC and Fox in Orlando had a great turnout. 17,000 people were there at the Amway Center. They got second place as far as the gate price. They lost, I think, to some sort of a team. Can't remember exactly what team, the Eagles, but I don't. Mm-hmm. Kill me right now if I try to tell you the truth exactly what professional team it is or minor league team it is. But either way, the UFC came in second. They believe it was 1.65 million gate. I believe that's what it was. But that just goes to show you that there is a passion for mixed martial arts here in Florida, because everyone went to the UFC. If you were a fan of MMA, martial arts, you were there. So then you think about it. Why the heck did the people didn't show up in Sunrise? Yes, there were five fighters from South Florida under the American Top Team belt or banner that fought on that card, and they were all undefeated. And I know that the Sunrise Florida didn't have, they maybe I think right now my recollection is good, maybe one fighter that was from Florida, but I could be wrong. There could be more. Either way, where the heck were they? They showed up in Orlando, which is a good thing. And by the way, Dana White was really happy about it. He says if he can, he would come back next week. But expect another show in Orlando soon, a pay-per-view perhaps, because it was a great outing. You know, ironically, though, on the ratings, it was the lowest one on Fox. I don't know why. The fight card was great. The fight card was really, really good. And all the fights were good, too. But as South Florida MMA goes, I don't know where the future is. I don't know where the future lies. You have one company out there right now. And that's about it. There's other little small ones and nightclubs. I think next month there's going to be one or two pro ones in a nightclub. And I think that's what the future is now. We're going to have very not up to par, not great shows in South Florida. Seems like we're going to have a lot more in Central or maybe even Tampa area from here on out, because it seemed to work for the UFC. We'll see what happens with that. All right. We're going to now talk some World Series of Fighting. Cody Bollinger, he was part of the Ultimate Fighter, and now he is with the World Series of Fighting. He fought not too long ago, and this is what he had to say about his possible and upcoming fight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much again for tuning in to the Roman Show as we're talking pro wrestling now. On the line, we have WWN pro manager. He's making, moving all these shaking and moving everything around. He's definitely making a major impact in professional wrestling. One of the fastest rising managers in pro wrestling today, none other than Larry Dallas. And again, you can check him out on WWNLive.com. Larry, thanks so much for joining us on the Roman Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
You know, ever since 2010, as I said, you've been moving and shaking the WWN. But why do you feel you have had to make these moves, man?
You know, since 2010, man, it's just, you know, when I broke into the business, I kind of broke in underneath somebody that didn't last a real long time. He was a veteran in the sport, and he was supposed to be somebody that, you know, I was supposed to kind of learn from and maybe just kind of give him some credibility. So I feel like everything that's ever been given to me, you know, was not really ever planned to be. I've always kind of felt like, you know, I wasn't supposed to be where I was at any point, so I always felt like I had something to prove, and something to prove to myself, to prove to fans, to prove to the company. So everything I've done over the past 4 years was with, like, that chip on my shoulder, and I found that the chip on the shoulder really kind of kept me motivated and kept me doing the things that I've been doing.
Now, while moving these things around here and some of these shifts that you've helped out, you've also helped along several talents. What is one thing that you look for in a talent that you're going to manage?
I look for chemistry, you know, between me and that person. I look for someone that's willing to listen. I look for someone with talent, with drive, and with hunger. And I look for someone that maybe is not getting the opportunity they deserve to be getting and can really use the XP to do that. I think that's, you know, kind of my role, kind of my purpose, is to, you know, take someone to that next level so that maybe plateaued their career kind of stalled. You know, it's my major thing is kind of chemistry and do we fit together well as a team? And if that works, then, you know, it's nothing, you know, there's no limit to what we can do.
And Larry, you know, with manager nowadays, you don't see him too much. The ones that come to mind, obviously, are Seb Kohler from WWE and Paul Heyman, who, I mean, in my opinion, one of the best managers in modern, as it is, you know, in the 2000s and the 90s. And then we can't forget, like, the greats of Bobby Heenan. But what do you think that makes a good manager a good manager?
I think he takes someone that's willing to get involved physically, someone that understands that the talent is the talent in the ring is the show. They're the people that people are there to see. You know, your job is to enhance them, not to take away from it. You know, far too many people think that, you know, being a manager means that, like, you know, they're a star. You know, for me, you know, if people like what I do or people like watching me, you know, it kind of happened organically. It's not something that I force down their throats. But I think it's just, you know, it's about asset management, about bringing out the best in the talent, spotlighting the talent, and kind of, you know, hiding their weaknesses and making up for them and always being an asset to them at all times, in the ring, out of the ring, on a microphone, no matter what you have to do. You know, I've gotten involved physically. I've been involved in matches. I've, you know, done everything you can possibly do, and I think that's an all-around thing that most managers need. And I've never embarrassed myself in any situation. I've always been able to, you know, hang with the boys if I need to, no matter what the situation calls for.
Looking back at the history of managers, you know, back then, say 10, 20 years ago, you would see more managers out there, because now they're not as popular. I mean, you could go on and on the list. Like I said, Heenan, Jimmy Hart, Mr. Fuji. It just goes on. But what do you think has happened nowadays that we're not seeing so many managers? And do you think they're needed?
I do think they're needed. I think you don't see as many managers because there's just not that many good ones out there that can actually, I don't have to. I also think if you look at the talent in the ring, as you get lower and lower down on the independent level, you see guys that maybe don't belong in a ring. And I feel like far too many people are not, you know, looking for what maximizes their skill set out there. And everyone's trying to be, you know, there's far too many people that are content with being really, really bad wrestlers instead of trying to see how they can enhance the business in other ways. And there's also just not many good managers out there because there's no one really to bring them up and teach them how to do it, number one. And number two, you know, people just don't really get it. You know, they think, like, oh, you know, I can't wrestle. Or, oh, I'm not as athletic as I need to be. You know, I'll just be a manager. Like, it's just something I can do. You know, everyone just kind of comes out there and they're looking for some corny, you know, character to play in, or they don't know what the psychology behind actually doing it. You know, they don't wrestle, they're not in their training, they're not paying attention to anything that happens, they're just not complete managers, and that's the biggest difference. You know, you ask the people in the locker rooms that I'm in, you know, I'm respected like I am a wrestler with them. You know, so I will go in there and do what needs to be done, and so there's so few people out there that are quote-unquote managers that actually do that. You know, they're just there to, you know, play whatever character they think they're playing. And they don't really look at the big picture, you know. They don't try to have a good look. They just look like they're not something you put on TV that would draw you to them. You know, they just think that they can look like crap because they're not in the ring every night.
Larry, speaking about the respect that you have and the guys, the respect in the locker room, you had a big honor in introducing Teddy Hart, a legend in the sport, over the WrestleMania weekend. I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah, you know, being with Teddy Hart was definitely like an old big moment. You know, I've been to Japan and I've been with Dragon Gate and I've been with, you know, some big companies, been some big talent. But Teddy Hart was definitely a big opportunity. You know, he's a guy who comes from a prestigious family, a family with a big legacy in wrestling. You know, someone that I watched when I was a fan, someone that's very talented. You know, he was very happy to work with me. I was very happy to work with him. It was just one of those things. Again, that's what we talk about chemistry, two people making it work together, you know. Him and I, you know, there's slight personality differences there. You know, Teddy's an interesting character. He's one of a kind. But, you know, I'm just the right kind of person that can kind of handle Teddy. And, you know, it's kind of fit. You know, it wasn't just something that was thrown together. Me and Teddy kind of, you know, it was probably destined to be written in the stars, so to speak, that one day our paths would cross and we'd be together out there.
Now, you debuted at the Bahamas Championship in Full Impact Pro in March.
Yeah.
How come you decided to debut this championship time? And why not to the Bahamas?
Why not the Bahamas, man? Have you ever been there?
I've been there several times.
Exactly. So why not represent a beautiful island like the Bahamas if you're going to represent anybody? The show before that, Roderick Strong made his return.
to FIP, and he kind of ambushed the tag team champions, the Bravado Brothers, and myself, and him and Richard Swan stole our tag titles that weekend, and there was no rematch imminent. You know, we were not getting a rematch that weekend, so I decided to take some time off, go down to the Bahamas, and kind of see where, clear my head and see where things could take me, and then, you know, I won the Bahamas championship. I decided to bring it back FIP because, you know, LD without the title just didn't make any sense for me, so... You know, you don't wait for opportunities. You make your own. I made my own with the homicide.
There you go. That makes perfect sense there, Dallas. And Dallas, what got you started in professional wrestling? And was your initial goal to be a professional wrestler and then shifted gears to be a manager? Or were you always wanted to be a manager?
It wasn't so much that I always wanted to be a manager. It was one of those things that, you know, I had come from a reality TV background and, you know, I just didn't feel... If you look at the style that Dragon Gate wrestler does or Evolve wrestler does, it's such a high, you know, athletic style. You know, I'm 6'3", you know, I'm 230 pounds. Like, I'm not going to do a bunch of flips. Even if you put $1 million on the table, I wouldn't be able to do a backflip. You know, there's just things that physically I'm not there at. I'm not an NFL athlete. I'm not a lot of things. But there is a certain skill set of mine, and I feel like that's what I'm talking about when I talk to young wrestlers. Like, you know, they always tell you to be an extension of your personality, to find your asset, and then ride that horse. And for me, personality-wise, being a manager was more of a fit. And then, you know, when the time came for me to actually have some matches here and there, you know, I delivered on them because, you know, it meant more. You know, I'll get a lot more mileage out of my career.
Right on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the line we have Cody Bollinger of World Series of Fighting. He is just coming off a great victory against veteran Tyson Nam. He fought down here in South Florida at the Hard Rock. Cody, welcome to the Roman Show, man. How's everything?
Hey, thank you for having me, man. Everything's good. Just enjoying the life.
So, Tyson Nam, taking back to that experience, obviously a well-known name in mixed martial arts, and he had a victory against him. So tell us about that experience and beating him here in South Florida.
It obviously went good, you know. There wasn't the way I wanted the fight to go. I obviously would have liked to finish, but, you know, I did what I could. I had a couple of injuries. I didn't want to pull out of my debut, you know. It's my first fight with World Series. I decided just to man up, fight through the injuries, and do what I could. It went a lot better than I thought it would, seeing how I felt. I went 3 rounds on my feet with a dangerous, dangerous guy. I mean, he knocked out Eduardo Dantes, you know. He's a dangerous striker. I went 3 rounds with him on the feet. You know, ended up pulling out the plan. So I was really happy.
Now you said you went in with some injuries. What exactly were they, and have you healed now?
I'm still rehabbing one right now. It's one of my shoulders has a little problem with it. I won't go too much into detail. And I had 2 broken ribs that I had... broke about a week and a half before the fight.
Wow, so that took a lot of courage to go in there, man. So in that fight, anything that you would take from it that you're working on now in your training camp?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely things that, you know, I learned I should not do. You know, I got a little overzealous sometimes. I still got to work on, you know, I got to work on a lot of things, man. I'm young, you know, I've got, you know, a good number of fights, but I'm still learning every fight. So there are some things that I'm taking away, and, you know, knowing that eventually I'm going to be fighting Moraes for that belt, you know, that I'm always working on something. You know, you can't stay stationary and expect to beat a guy like him.
And what can you tell me about that fight? Did you manage to see it with Moraes and Reddinghouse?
Yeah, I saw the fight, man. I got kind of mixed feelings about it, you know. I won't take anything away from Moraes. He's tough. He's got some, you know, nasty leg kick. He's a really tough dude, and I did respect him. I thought he could have finished that fight. I feel like he played it way too safe. I think he could have finished that fight in the second round if he wanted to. That's like the third time I've seen him do that. You know, he has a guy who really hurt, and he, you know, we all know he can finish the fight, and he just kind of paces himself and plays it safe, and I think that's where I'll be able to take advantage if we do fight.
You think the official should have stopped it earlier, too?
I'm sorry?
You think the official should have stopped it earlier, too?
No, I think, there were a couple times where the official could have stopped it. You know, he definitely gave Reddinghouse every chance to, you know, fight back, which is good. You know, I love when refs do that, you know, if the fighter's moving, and he's out of it, but he's still moving, you know, let him go, let him fight. And that was one thing, man. That ref did a great job. You know, I wouldn't have been upset if he stopped it a couple times, but the ref was really good.
And, you know, this is the first time you fought for the World Series of Fighting. How was your experience with the company and the promotion, which is obviously getting some big top names and great competition?
I loved it. Hands down, favorite promotion I've ever fought for. And I'm not just saying that I signed with them. You know, the reason I did sign with them is because of guys like Ali and Ray Sefo and, you know, all the people they have working for them. They're really nice, genuine people. They took care of me, you know, even before I signed with them. They were taking care of me. After I signed with them, nothing's changed, you know. They are really, really great people. Coming off the tough show, you know, with what happened, not a lot of people would throw the type of money at me that they're throwing at me and give me the what I feel I deserve and what everybody knows I deserve, you know, pay-wise. You know, people would try and take advantage of that coming off what I did on the tough show, and they saw me for what I was worth, and they were willing to treat me, you know, they were willing to take care of me, and it was a great thing to see, and, you know, that ultimately led to me signing with them, and I couldn't be happier, to be honest.
Yeah, it goes to say what they say, man. Everything happens for a reason, since you had that an incident there with the Ultimate Fighter, but, you know, not making the weight and all that in the show and not allowing you to move forward in the show, how did that change you as a person and as a fighter, as a professional?
I mean, it was kind of devastating, you know. My godfather is actually Joe Stevenson. So, you know, ever since he won season two, you know, that was my dream, you know. I want to go on Ultimate Fighter and I want to win it. And I finally had my chance, you know, and you know, I feel I could have won that show. Not any disrespect to, you know, Holdsworth and everybody else who did compete, you know, I beat myself. But, you know, that was my shot and I messed it up and it really, really sucked. I was a little depressed for a while, but you know, you gotta pick up and move on if you're going to do anything in this sport. You can't sit back on stuff like that or just it'll drag you down for the rest of your life.
Well, thankfully everything's working out for you, World Series of Fighting. So no word yet on a next fight?
Yeah, man, we're working on it. Hopefully within the next week or two, I'll have something to, you know, share with everybody.
Well, Cody, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, man, that's good. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, boss.
My pleasure, Cody.
All right, folks, well, due to the fact that Block Talk Radio has had some issues, we are going to re-air next week Larry Dallas's interview and Cody's interview. Apologize for this. We just heard from Block Talk Radio on Twitter that they are having some intermediate technical difficulties. But we try our best here to do the best that we can. But again, out of respect to our guests, we will be re-airing Larry Dallas's interview and Cody Bollinger's. Earlier today, you heard Patrick Williams, who will be fighting this Saturday, and Alan Arzeno, who competed in the Combate America's reality show this past weekend and defeated Rene Lavo Martinez. But with that being said, because it's unfortunate technical difficulty, we will catch you next week right here on The Roman Show. Make sure you follow us on our social media accounts at The Roman Show on Twitter and on Facebook, facebook.com/Roman Show Media. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rromanotool1, and visit our website, theromanshow.com, where you will see exclusive content only found on theromanshow.com. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next week here on The Roman Show. And right now we're in sirens. Tell you, it's Rock Talk Radio. Thanks so much, guys. Catch you next week.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolpho Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolpho Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.